The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Hope everybody's good. It is Thursday, the fourth day of August 2022. And I'm looking at the 10-day on the phone. Just saying. Today, 104. Tomorrow, 104. But there are 4 days. Count them four. Of course, this could all change. 4 days in the next 10 with highs that are only two digits. 99 on Saturday. 98, 99. Next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That'll feel positively brisk. And there's a little tiny thunderclap logo on the phone next Tuesday and Wednesday, but heaven knows that could be rescinded at any time as well. In fact, Jason Allen on Channel 11 last night had a piece I'll play for you here in just a little bit, because a lot of people are wondering, are we just flat running out of water? How finite is water? I mean, we've talked a lot about electricity and about how, you know, the grid has issues when it's really cold or really hot. But what about when we have, you know, week after week after week after week of stinking drought? And could we have a few more grass fires, brush fires, Parker County, Palo Pinto, all kinds of the far-flung, broadly drawn DFW is just on fire, and then things are equipment is throwing off sparks, and it's just bad. It appears that despite some of the water restriction requests, you know, water your lawn a little, and they've been requests, they haven't been orders, not have anybody go boom, 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 your sprinkler's going, we need to take you away. It appears that there aren't people who believe that we are on the brink of an actual water shortage. Looks like everybody's just being careful, but we'll take a look at that because that's very front of mind, clearly, as we go about just another day of looking at things locally, nationally, globally. Pelosi's been gone from Taiwan for more than a day now, and yet the communist Chinese are still doing live fire exercises all around the island. I guess that teaches them a lesson or something. In the national spotlight, Ron DeSantis has a press secretary named Christina Pushaw, P-U-S-H-A-W, and she is just a force of nature in the Twitter world. You need to follow her, Christina Pushaw, P-U-S-H-A-W. And she's just rolling out with a lot of hot takes about everything, but she does remain DeSantis's press secretary, and in that capacity, teased America and thus the world last night that Governor DeSantis has some type of major announcement today. And she attaches the expectation, prepare for the liberal media meltdown. Well, that's not hard to predict for anything that DeSantis does. He has attracted so much attention that the shrill harridans at The View invited him to come on. A moment on that in a second. But what the announcement is, or what the announcement is not, it got everyone, oh, he's going to announce for 2024. He's going to announce for 2024. No, he's too busy running in 2022. He actually has to win. It's George W. Bush all over again. It's Bush 98, because he won in 94. And then after a successful term and increasing national buzz, everybody knew. The dog that I had at the time knew. I got to backdate the dogs. Wouldn't be the current dog. A couple of dogs back knew that the moment George W. won for governor of Texas in 1998, that on the way home from the inaugural ball, they had out the yellow legal pads sketching out the path for a presidential run. Will that be the case for DeSantis after he wins for governor of Florida in 3 months? That would suit me obviously just fine. I absolutely love the guy. The notion of Trump teeing it up is obviously exciting as an American, as a conservative, as a talk show host. And if they duke it out, I don't know if that's my favorite thing. Let the marketplace be what it is, and we'll just sort of see how that shakes out in a field that could contain Tom Cotton, could contain Mike Pompeo, could contain Pence, could contain Rubio. Oh, Lord, we have bad Tim Scott news. I know I'm all over the place. I can follow it. Tim Scott, senator of South Carolina, most dangerous man in America, conservative black man, right? Or is he? I mean, yes, but yesterday, big honking endorsement of Lisa Murkowski. What? Lisa, seething, squishy, rhino, Trump hater, Murkowski. This perpetuates the image of elected office as a protection racket for incumbents, no matter what. And I'm not suggesting that Tim Scott needed to come out with an enormous endorsement of the candidate that I prefer. A wonderful, wonderful woman named Kelly Chewbacca. Not Chewbacca. Kelly Chewbacca. No, Kelly Chewbacca. Chibaka. But just stay out of it. Just stay out of it. An enormous, huge, honking endorsement for a flawed commodity like Lisa Murkowski by Tim Scott is a big impediment to my enthusiasm about him moving forward. And everybody had talked about the possibility of Tim Scott as running mate material or nominee material. And I'm not one of those people who define somebody by one thing and that's it. I'm out forever. However, life is too short. This is why I'm on the DeSantis watch every day for something I don't love. And if I find it, I'll have to factor that into the stew of what I think of Brother DeSantis. You know what I think about Trump. Love him, love him, love him, love him. Questions about his sky-high negatives, which you can't ignore, and whether that hurts him in his ability to actually win. Of course, then you go to the Democrat Party, and who in the world do they even have? So it's a ping-pong match in your head. But back to DeSantis. I have no idea what his announcement today will be, probably some policy thing. He's doing a lot of stuff on gender, thank God, doing a lot of stuff on woke corporations, obviously, just fighting exactly the right battles that you need to be fighting. Of course, you fight battles on big national issues like borders and inflation, but this is the thing that Republicans have not understood forever and ever and ever. Trump understood it, and now virtually all of them do, or they should. And that is, there are so many things that matter that are not about policy wonk, nuts and bolts, economic things, border things, all of which are important. So many of them are about the culture, about life, about our kids, about education, about the attempt to slaughter our children's childhoods, sacrifice it on the altar of gender extremism, the notion of poisoning our country with critical race theory. These things matter. They matter enormously. DeSantis gets it. So I don't know. And obviously Trump does, too, as always has. So I don't know what the DeSantis announcement is today. If we find out, we'll let you know. There was an announcement from him yesterday, day before. He had been invited by that coven over at The View to come appear on that thing that they have with Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin and people who have they went and found a litany, a montage of horrific things that those women had said about Ron DeSantis, that he's a fascist, that he's a Nazi, that he's anti-democracy, that et cetera, et cetera. So the DeSantis answer was no, I'm not going. Now, I am a fan of and a practitioner of conservatives going into opposition territory in the media. So if you have the skill set to do it, I want our good, our skilled communicators in elected office or the punditry class or whichever, you know, going in and making their occasional appearances on your CNN, your MSNBC, your, you know, whatever, the big networks, they're all enemy territory. And appearing there and calmly and effectively answering enemy questions can score you some points. I think that's a good thing, by and large. However, this is different. The View is a clown car of hate. And so you got four shrill tormentors screaming at DeSantis. There's no upside to that whatsoever. There are only two reasons they invited him. Number one, ratings, which because he would absolutely attract ratings to a struggling TV show. And the other is the hope that the four of them ganging up on him would create a gaffe or a bad moment that would cripple his ascendancy. So the DeSantis people took a look at that, and all other things being equal, said, eh, hard pass. Good for him. All right, let me pause, come back. I've got, there's obviously stuff in the news, but there are a couple of things that are just weird. Out in the periphery of the news, we have a massive sports star in America who is on a podcast. These podcasts are out of control. They're out of control. It's Dana Carvey doing Regis Philbin. Everybody goes on them and they get too comfortable. I don't know. Being comfortable is good. You really get there. You get the real person when they're comfortable. I'm comfortable every day. Can you tell? And so this guy starts to riff on this hallucinogenic tea that he thinks really helped his performance. And it's a minute of the strangest audio, and I'm going to play it. And then to get even more ethereal, ooh, have you heard the pigs back from the dead story? So you take a dead pig. I know my next move. Eat it. Brisket for everybody. No, except they injected some stuff into some pigs that have been dead for like an hour. And some of their organs came back to life. I know. What? Okay. All right. See, we cover it all around here. And in so doing, you may chat with us about anything you like. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. Our buddy Mike Gallagher joins us 7:35. At 8:35, Jim Carafano, fresh in town, headed into CPAC. CPAC, hey, CPAC people, hey, welcome, welcome. Glad you are here. Should be quite the headline-making event as we work toward the weekend. Yes, it's funny. This is telling. And we had Matt Schlapp on, Grand Poobah of CPAC, head of the American Conservative Union. And I asked him, is this a massive event for conservatism broadly defined, or is it essentially a really big Trump campaign rally? And he said, look, they cast a wide net, but it is noteworthy that Trump is coming and I don't think there's a single one of his potential 2020 DeSantis ain't coming. Of course, he just appeared in a CPAC event in Florida. Ain't no Tom Cotton. Ain't no, Lord knows, there ain't no Mike Pence. Curiouser and curiouser. All right, 7:20, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Little ZZ Top and Black Fly as we Thursday gets underway. So I've already set up a couple of things to do for you, but obviously before I do either of those, let's do this. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around, cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, so in a nation filled with religious freedom, you can believe whatever you want. And so I don't know how spiritual this is or how nutty this is, but I just want you to hear a minute or so of this because there's no doubting that Aaron Rodgers is really good. And I for some reason, I don't know whether it's Brady or Rodgers, maybe it's just because these guys are so good and it's envy that everybody hates Brady. Maybe not so much lately, but Aaron Rodgers has always gotten on my last nerve for some reason, probably because he's just has such a fond habit of beating the Cowboys in key games, blah, blah, blah. So Aaron Rodgers is on this podcast with Aubrey Marcus. Never heard of him, but he gets Aaron Rodgers on a podcast, so that's not a bad thing. And they start talking about this Indian tea with this hallucinogen called ayahuasca, A-Y-A-H-U-A-S-C-A, ayahuasca, and how Aaron Rodgers believes that its mind bending properties really helped him.
You know, by the time everybody had finished serving, because I was one of the first ones to drink, I started deep on a journey where the ayahuasca is usually described as a grandmother spirit. And I met her and walked with her through past, present, and future lives. And it was the most beautiful experience I could possibly imagine. I literally was able to ask her question after question about things that were on my mind and have the most beautiful journey I could possibly imagine in that setting. And obviously, you know, down there at Soltara and with Maestro Orlando and with Jenna Volko and the other incredible facilitators and just the group of incredible humans we had there made for just an incredibly intentional and energetically connected environment, which I think really was important to set, you know, the protection around the space as we did and the intention. And it allowed for so many of us to have deep and meaningful journeys. And for me, night two was enjoying the highest bliss possible that I could even have imagined in my wildest dreams the night before or leading up to the trip. I'm so deeply grateful for that.
All right. Let me stress again that people can believe whatever they wish. I don't care. It's none of my business. But that is nutty as a fruitcake. Now, I got to tell you know, if you look, I mean, first of all, the first thing I go look it up is this stuff legal? And apparently largely no, unless you can get this religious exemption. There are some folks in various Native American faiths that are, you know, loading up on ayahuasca tea and they get to do it and you and I don't. So, hey, I don't know. But also in the world of athletes, whatever helps you, man, whatever you think helps you. But this I'm walking with. I had a chance to talk to her about past lives. Okay, whatever, dude, whatever. Either your latest Aaron Rodgers burst of info. All right, matters large and small on the Mark Davis Show. We're proving that. Let's get into some of the larger matters in the newsroom with Gordon Griffin, and then the biggest ones of all with our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher and our Thursday visit coming right up thereafter. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Here's Gordon.
Hello, darling. This is Lewis.
It's Lewis.
Darling, it's so nice to have
my gosh,
you back
how old
where
are you?
You belong.
Born this date in 1901.
So,
When this movie, when Hello Dolly, with, of course, I think this was the first Barbra Streisand movie I ever saw or remembered to any extent, 1969. And Louis Armstrong was in there as the band leader. Young Scatman Crothers is there. Walter Matthau. It's just one of the great old school 60s musicals. Louis Armstrong was already 68. You know, when he was in that movie, and he passed away in 1971. Wow. So the great Louis Armstrong, born today.
Gotcha. Hey, well, you got some big doings going on there in Big D with CPAC. Got to ask you a question. What, I haven't been able to get to the bottom of this. Why is Ron DeSantis not speaking at CPAC?
So I had Matt Schlapp on a few days ago, and I said, you know, just as an observer, I'm noticing that Trump is on the speaker's list and virtually no one else who might be running against him. It makes it kind of, is it intentional or just a byproduct that it makes it kind of look like a very Trump-centric event? Not that there's anything the matter with that. And his answer involved that DeSantis, well, first of all, they just had an event in Florida. His suggestion, it's not like he can channel or read minds, but I think the most plausible thing is that There's a list of things DeSantis wants to do that might make you think he's running in 24, and there's a list of things that he really doesn't need to do. And I think traveling the country, appearing at every big convention, might be something he holds close to the vest, especially when his own – he wants to be very Florida-centric right now as he's 3 months away from his own re-election, which will happen.
Well, that's one theory. Yeah. Let me give you another theory. You don't want to be in the same room with Donald Trump, period.
I think I like yours better.
I really am with you about just not liking the idea of a DeSantis-Trump showdown. So I hope these two guys can come to some sort of an agreement, understanding, I would say partnership, because nothing makes me happier than the idea of Trump-DeSantis 2024. I think that's unstoppable. Yeah,
I think that's unworkable. But DeSantis has no interest in being anybody's running mate.
It's a precursor to being the president, though, and if the country succeeds with the Trump DeSantis era the way it did with the Trump Pence era, he's got 8 years of being president. I mean, he knows that he's a young guy. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I know a lot of people are having a lot of fun in over there at the Anatole, right?
Yes, it is. Be at the Anatole on Stemmons. I've got a question. Having your very sound theory about the notion of does DeSantis want to be on a thing? Wasn't Trump at the thing in Florida, or no?
What the which thing in Florida?
Just like mere.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So they
yeah,
were
the event, the Charlie Kirk's event.
So okay, well then that okay, so that would have been Trump
and DeSantis was not there either. I don't think.
Well, yeah, he was. He was at something.
Was he? Oh, yeah. Maybe he was there the day before.
Exactly. So if you talk about the same room, it wouldn't really. It's not like they're going to be meeting in the back alleys or anything like that. So, I don't know. It's.
I could be reading more too much into it.
It's hard not to because there is just so much anticipation. So many real. And I mean real conservatives, and I use that term very advisedly because in a minute we're going to talk about Tim Scott. Real conservatives are thoroughly stoked about the possibility of Trump teeing it up again, and certainly at least as stoked about the possibility of a DeSantis candidacy as well. And so the anticipation of it, it's a game I'm willing to play for months and months and months, and we'll probably learn
well,
something.
Well, what I love is the fact that Trump's record is incredible, and this is not something you're going to see on the front page of the Washington Post or the New York Times. Breitbart, though, keeps track, and they keep score. Trump's endorsement record is at 172-10. So far, candidates backed by Trump are now 172-10 in statewide and federal races in 2022. He had a perfect night in Kansas, Michigan, Missouri. Still no word yet. Somehow they can't figure out what the vote tallies are in Arizona.
I know,
here we go again.
Just what is the deal with elections? I'm old enough to remember election night. We voted on one day and we knew the event. We knew the results by the time we woke up. What happened?
So of course,
that?
Carrie Lake, of course, being a real flamethrower, and she's pretty red meat. She was calling the election rigged when it was close, and then when she thinks she came out on top. she, of course, in a Trumpian way, claims victory. Well, so she, in her mind, she's the victim.
Well, let's spend, and I think she probably is. They've still got some Maricopa, which is Phoenix votes to come in, and right. but I think she probably will win. But there were a lot of people who are kind of mocking her for saying, "Wait a minute, if you win, do you still feel that the election was rigged?" Those are not mutually exclusive at all, because you can have a crooked election, a rigged election, a slanted election. And if you win anyway, it's like, well, we outvoted the steal. We had enough people show up that any amount of fraud, any amount of dishonesty, any improprieties, we rendered them irrelevant, which is exactly what we have to do this year and in 24, is hope to God that we've got everything cleaned up as best we can, but just show up in such numbers, as they say, if it ain't close, they can't cheat.
And look what they're doing to Tudor Dixon. She is a remarkable woman.
Love her.
Out of Michigan.
Yep.
I do too. I saw her on, she made an appearance last night on Tucker's show.
She may beat Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's New York, where I don't know if Lee Zeldin can beat Kathy Hochul. That's a big ask. But in Michigan, can Tudor Dixon beat Gretchen Whitmer? I'm sorry, didn't mean to step on
maybe.
Your
back. No, it's possible. Maybe she can, and she might be the only one capable of even mounting a challenge against that tyrant, Gretchen Whitmer. But here's what's fascinating to watch. The media they just slam her, they slime her, they smear her. She's an election denier. She's an election conspiracy theorist. And she has said what all of us has said. Something was funky about the 2020 election.
Yep.
You're allowed to believe that, just like Hillary and Pelosi and everybody else believed it about 2016. I am so fed up with the hypocrisy of that. I watched a report this morning on NBC's Today Show. Hallie Jackson, she's amazing. I think she's a pretty strong reporter, but she couldn't resist in her reporting of CPAC in Dallas, where a number of the CPAC speakers repeated Trump's lies about the 2020 election.
And this is a reporter saying this. I mean, if Rachel Maddow said that, exactly, there are journalistic reporter, supposed to be objective stories that refer to Trump's lies or the false claims of election impropriety. Dude,
But see, here's what's amazing. Just from a journey, you made a great point. These are reporters. This is supposed to be a news story.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be objective. They have no way of knowing that saying "I don't think that I think the election was tainted."
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they can say that's a lie.
Exactly.
They don't know that it's a lie.
Nope.
Mark, they have no way of knowing it's a lie.
Yep.
It could be a lie. It could be wrong. It could be false. It could be accurate. Hard to believe that of millions and millions of mail-in ballots, none of which could be verified signature-wise, that there wasn't a potential for corruption. But we will never probably know. And that's the frustration. And I get it. But you cannot say with 100% certainty you know that every single vote mattered and counted and was legit.
Correct.
You can't say that.
Correct.
So they're the liars.
Yep.
Saying that anybody who says it is a conspiracy theorist and is lying is bull.
And Tudor Dixon gave a perfect answer. I think it was Brett Baer, night before last, heading up to the Michigan primary, said, "Do you believe the election was stolen?" You know, sort of planting that seed in a kind of a Trumpian language. And her answer was perfect. She said, "Look, I know that in my state of Michigan, there are a ton of people with a lot of concerns that 2020 did not come out right, that there were a lot of rules changed, a lot of things were just not properly done, and they believe that the result was thus unreliable." I said, "You go, girl." Exactly right. Exactly, exactly, exactly. May I pivot to another lady?
That's a legitimate answer.
It is. Let me pivot to another lady I like. And this is in Alaska. Her name is Kelly Chewbacca, not Chewbacca. Kelly Chewbacca is a Republican and a real conservative running for the Senate in Alaska against that rhino squish Lisa Murkowski. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is big, huge, loving endorsement for Lisa Murkowski yesterday from Tim Scott. It broke my heart. It out of South Carolina. I love him. It makes him look like an establishment toady. And
And not only did he endorse Lisa Murkowski, but then a week ago he praised rhino and Trump hater Nancy Mace. Same thing. Yeah. I mean,
is there a possible? And listen, maybe sometimes you just shut up if you're about to effusively praise someone whose conservatism is in question or whose Trump hatred seems to eat their brain. With Nancy Mace, you got sort of some South Carolina etiquette that you might have there, but there was no reason for them to endorse Lisa Murkowski, just none.
No, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong, and it's a big mistake. I'm going to talk right after I talk to you to my pal Joey Hudson in South Carolina.
See how that's going over. And because I don't want one thing to define everyone. It doesn't mean I'm out on Tim Scott forever and I don't like him anymore, but I have to tell you, life is short and the opportunities are few, and my interest in Tim Scott at either part of the 2024 ticket has taken a major hit because of this.
All right. So tell me you saw the moment that Alex Jones on the witness stand yesterday found out that in court that his lawyers accidentally sent all of his texts from the last 2 years to the other side, to the attorneys. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And Alex, of course, being a great, you know, showman and provocateur. I mean, he's up there saying, well, you had your Perry Mason moment, but you could tell he looked completely rattled and he was beat red. They said he kept sipping out of a Dixie cup that didn't have anything in it. He was like making a drinking motion, but there wasn't anything in the cup. I mean, he got completely blindsided. I would have hated to have been in the room when Alex Jones got with his attorneys after he discovered on the witness stand.
Yeah.
And this is the Sandy Hook lawsuit. For people who don't know what's going on, if you're not following this, one of the parents of one of the little boys murdered at Sandy Hook is suing Alex. Alex has already been found liable. He's already been held responsible, but now they're determining what level of money damages he's going to have to pay. He says that InfoWars has declared bankruptcy. But you know, Alex is obviously a big polarizing figure. Yesterday he admitted on the stand that of course Sandy Hook happened. He 100% believes that Sandy Hook happened. Now he said that in court after years of insisting that it was a false flag and it was actors. You know, I have to admit, Mark, I have a disconnect with this whole world because I don't understand. On the one hand, I understand a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't understand trying to threaten and harm and hurt these parents who have lost everything.
Correct.
And a lot of people have this guy testified yesterday, the father of the one of the little boys, my house has been shot up. They've had to move. All these parents have had to move there because people are showing up at their doorsteps, screaming at them, attacking them, accusing them of being actors. Mark, can you imagine what it's like to lose your little precious angel to a madman in a mass shooting and then have that happen?
I know. It's why I pay zero attention to this man. And that extends even into this trial, which I know I probably have to pay a little more attention to. And the reason I do, first of all, about Alex Jones, I would only say this is a deeply troubled and deeply disturbed man. Never been my cup of tea. I don't know why his popularity baffles me completely, but a lot of people's popularity baffles me completely. Not everybody's going to be my cup of tea. The thing I take away from all of this is I totally understand these Sandy Hook parents and why they revile him, and his behavior during that entire Sandy Hook thing was just execrable. However, I blanch a little bit at people being in court for stuff they say on shows. Short of actual libel, actual slander, you know, actual character defamation, et cetera, which are already against the law. I'm a big believer in if somebody is a lunatic, just let the court of public opinion identify them as such. And it's easy for me to, I don't want to come across as cavalier about what you just talked about, what these Sandy Hook families have been through. I am not insensitive to that at all. But I just don't. Where does this lead? What are the next 15 things that somebody says that are really incendiary? And I ain't looking out for myself. You're never going to fall victim to this. I'm never going to fall prey to this. But it's.
But there's a parallel here. You're onto something really important. And there's the one parallel that comes to mind is blaming Donald Trump for the actions of the rioters on January 6th.
Maybe that's it. Maybe if we're in a world where something you say something and then other people do bad things, supposedly inspired by what you said, Trump said nothing wrong on January 6th. Nothing. He was entitled to all of that. Alex Jones was fabricating terrible things on a radio show, and that deserves public scorn. And I'm
but regardless of what comes out of the speakers, right, though, to like, your point, does that mean the person who had the opinion that may be egregious and may be repulsive, is he responsible for some lunatic showing up and, you know, making somebody move and harassing somebody? He's already been held liable for the damages. I mean, that part is already done. Now they're just now it's a matter of how much. I don't know. He's got a huge following, and I hate the way they've shut him down. I don't think that he was the first one to be deplatformed, and although it came out even after he was deplatformed and taken off of all the social media sites and everything else, he was making up to $800,000 a day through InfoWars, and that was post deplatforming. So. Yep. Pretty lucrative business model.
No doubt about it. I'm a big believer in letting everybody be out there, and let's all pass judgment on it and all just get on with our lives as grown-ups. So.
Well, it was quite a moment. I think that, the audio when the lawyer says, your lawyers messed up, Mr. Jones, and they gave me the last 2 years of all of your tech. And see, what was at stake real quick, let me finish with this. The reason it's kind of intriguing, and it is a Perry Mason moment, you don't see these moments often in a courtroom, is that Alex Jones said under oath that there were no text messages on his phone about Sandy Hook.
Whoops.
And of course, now here's the next part. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Because you're not following it, let me fill you in. Guess who now has their eyes on the cell phone data of Alex Jones?
January 6th.
January 6th committee.
That's like that needs to get more.
Because he was there, on January 6th. Now they want to see his text messages.
Yep.
Alex Jones, listen, if you're having a bad day, you just remember, you're not Alex Jones.
Exactly right. All right,
happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Mike Gallagher, ready to roll. Today at 10, as soon as we're done, on 660 AM, The Answer. So since we tend to go way back, closing out the 7 o'clock hour, and it is Louis Armstrong's birthday. We had him doing, hello, Dolly, this is Louis Dolly. God, Louis's going to kill me. Doing Louis exacts a toll. So how about if we just do him on the trumpet with Louis Armstrong and the Hot Fives, a little muskrat ramble from 1938. Little toe tapper for your Thursday. All right, let's tap our toes on out of this and start to do some phone calls and start to examine some things in the news and just sling hot topics on a hot day, shall we? Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Stick around, much more to come.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.